2. Last week we took a look at the first five verses of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we saw how Paul had a plan on how to preach the gospel to baby Christians. And his plan was basically to make it simple and relatable. We saw that throwing a T-bone steak at a baby with no teeth would leave them not only frustrated, but still hungry. And we talked about learning to crawl, and then we walk, and then we run, because we learned that the process is of a slow training. And sadly, that's not what we see in our church today. And people basically end up leaving, starving and upset. And you know what? I would too. So last week we learned about teaching the unbeliever and baby Christian in ways that they understand. This week, we're going to look at how the mature believer believes, or how the mature believer learns. I want to look at the possibilities that Paul lays out here. Basically, we're going to look at wisdom of the age, wisdom from a secret source, wisdom from the Spirit, and the spirit of discernment. So let's open up our Bibles to chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 6. So let's begin here. Yet among the mature, we do not impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and a hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except for the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Cord's in my way. So Paul, after the first five verses, saying we really need to keep it simple with new believers, he now switches gears and wants to talk to the more mature believers. How do we get to be a more mature believer? And you guys, how are you guys with like sword drills? You guys good with those? Bible sword drills. We're going to do a lot of different scripture here because I really want to hammer this teaching about the Holy Spirit home today. So I brought up a lot of different scripture. So my first one, let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Some of them I put up there. I did. Yes! You guys don't have to sword drill these. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Do we see that today? The first point we want to talk about is the wisdom of the age. You know, the most popular churches in America today are, for the most part, prosperity gospel-based. If you just Google most popular churches in America, the first ten are almost all of them prosperity and faith-based gospel healing stuff. It's all those first ten. They teach either name it or claim it, or faith healing, or any other version of a giant genie in the sky they conjure up. Their wisdom is based on experience or feelings, not on the truth of Scripture. Their humanism leads to their wisdom coming from their perspective, not God's. The wisdom of today's age is that we make our own wisdom. Truth is relevant, and therefore everything or anything can be true. Don't judge me, bro, is the battle cry. The wisdom of today is sadly driving people away from God, because think about this. People don't come to church to come to the world. They come to church because they don't want what the world has to offer. The problem is that the church, for the most part, has become a place that's run like a corporation and compromises to give people what they want to hear. Week after week, people go back to the milk, if they even get that. And after a while, the stimulation of the laser lights and the loud music wears off, and they realize that they've basically been doing religion for so long, but they're not growing at all. And they're not seeing any change in their lives. The reality is they left the world, walked inside the world under the guise of it's a church, and they're not getting anything from it. The wisdom of the age has let them down, and they give up on God. The God they were taught is the one they create in their own head, and here's the reality of that. You can't follow that. Why would you want to? The arrogance of us is to ask who created God, as if we had the power. Remember, I was talking a couple weeks ago. Go to the next slide. You guys back there paying attention? Yeah, Dave, you're like a few.
John, what are you on me?
Well, got listen. Next one. There you go. So, you guys remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about how people don't believe in the Christian view on creation because scientists can't recreate it. So if they can't recreate it, it can't be true. That's literally the arrogance of man. We're also not to put our faith or teach others to follow the rulers of this age. So who are those? Go back. Yeah, that one. They could be presidents, they could be church leaders, or anyone else we tend to idolize. Look at those guys. I mean, seriously, I don't want to be this way. How do you idolize anybody who wears those glasses? I like them a lot, but... I know. So, athletes or musicians or actors, those people all come to mind when we idolize people in the world, right? But America especially tends to listen to those who are famous just because they're famous. As Christians, we're not supposed to get our wisdom from man. Now, there are men that have vast wisdom and insight, and there is much that we can take and learn from them. But ultimately, we don't look to those people for ultimate truth. We just don't. We shouldn't. At least we don't, because Paul says that they're all going to pass away. So verse 7 says, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom from God. Well, okay, what's that mean? For thousands of years, man tried and tried to save themselves through the works of obedience. And God had a different plan of redemption for his people, and it was through his work, through his son, Jesus Christ. The mystery was just that God had kept the secret until an appropriate time. Look at Matthew 13:10. This is when Jesus was teaching the parable of the sower. We actually just kind of went through this a little bit. He was teaching the parable of the sower, and his disciples asked, why do you speak in parables? And in verse 10 it says, then the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak in parables? And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing that they do not see, and hearing that they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will need to hear, but never, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this, people's hearts has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. The wisdom of the secret source is the gospel of Christ. The mystery is taught as the salvation that we receive through the blood of Christ, not by the work of obedience. This plan was devised before the world was even formed and finally revealed in the New Testament. Look at Hebrews 9:8-10. It says, by this the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy places is not yet opened as long as the first section is still standing, which is symbolic for the present age. According to the arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food and drink and various washings. Regulations for the body imposed until the time of Reformation. As long as the temple was still functioning and doing all the ceremonial cleansing and washings and slaughtering to cover sins, the perfection of the worshiper could not be complete. Only Christ could fulfill that. We can see that in 1 Corinthians, in the text, and in verse 4:1, we see it in Ephesians 3:4-5, Romans 11:25. It's summed up perfectly in 1 Timothy 3:16. Great indeed is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. As Jesus said, some will see, some will not. Some will hear, some will not. So what is it that makes the believer stand apart from the non-believer? It's our next point. It's the wisdom of the Spirit. Verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. We see and we understand because God sent us His Holy Spirit to help us. So if you remember from our study in the book of Acts, Jesus promises in chapter 1 a helper. Okay? So He says in chapter 1, verse 4, this is in the book of Acts, He says, "And while staying with them, He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, 'You heard from Me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" Then in verse 8, He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Then, flash forward to Acts chapter 2, and what happens? The Holy Spirit came upon them when they were all up in the upper room waiting. They were up there waiting for the Holy Spirit. Remember, it comes as tongues of fire, and that they had this big gush of wind, tongues of fire come upon them. And chapter 2, verse 4 says this, "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance." The Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak in tongues and do miracles in a visible manifestation of the power of God. The Spirit is what gave them the words to say. The Holy Spirit is also what gives us the ability to understand what is given to us by God. We impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but by the Spirit of God. I've talked about this before, but have you ever been talking with somebody and all of a sudden you just start blurting out biblical stuff you didn't even know you knew? You're like, "Oh, yeah, well, Psalm 84:5 says this," and you're like, "It did what?" And you don't understand because God gives you the words. Remember Moses? Moses like, "I can't talk. I can't do this. God, just go. I'll give you the words." We have a fear of doing that. But like the disciples in Acts chapter 2, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Speaking His truth is only a power that the Holy Spirit can give you. Men can give us wisdom and words to encourage us with, but the Holy Spirit is authoritative. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you and through you, you know that it's true. So how do we get this wisdom from the Holy Spirit? Galatians chapter 3 gives us really kind of the simple answer. Starting in verse 1, Paul writing to the Galatians says, "Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed and crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" We get the wisdom of the Spirit through faith when we accept Christ. It's not by our works. We can't earn it. It's just by faith. So you all know, and you've heard this before, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." A little further down in Ephesians, Paul's talking about the Jews and Gentiles having access to God through the same Spirit, and he ends chapter 2 with this. "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So when we receive grace and have faith, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us and gives us wisdom to build on the foundations that the apostles laid, with Christ always being the cornerstone. Everything we do is focused around Christ, and the Holy Spirit is what gives us the wisdom and power to do it. Amen. Now, just to clear up one point with the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives us power, not the other way around. What do I mean by that? There's a prevailing doctrine out there in Christianity that says that we can claim any spiritual gift. 1 Peter 4:10-11 says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that it in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." Different gifts are given to different people, and they're given by God. They're given to us to be used for His glory, not for ours. We don't claim them. God gives them. The one gift the Spirit does give all of us is wisdom. Wisdom gives us our last point, and that is the spirit of discernment. Back to our text, in verse 14 it says, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." The word discernment means to judge well. The unbeliever cannot understand the things of God because the Spirit doesn't help them. It really is that simple. Think back. Before we knew Christ, we looked at everything through the flesh. We did everything in our flesh. We couldn't make good decisions because the flesh is always going to lead us wrong. Romans 8:5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit." The Spirit gives us the ability to discern the things of the flesh and the things of God. The problem that we run into is that we as Christians, listen carefully because this is important. The problem that we run into is that we as Christians get upset with the world when they don't understand the things of God. They don't understand truth or morality or justice or grace because they can't. We get upset with them, but they aren't capable of understanding because they do everything in the flesh. They don't have the Holy Spirit to tell them the difference between right and wrong. So they continue in the flesh. To them, all things of God are folly. They just don't make sense, and we get mad at them. The discernment is also important because people come up with all kinds of things that they say that the Spirit told them to do. Having the Spirit helps us to discern what's true and what's not. So, here's one thing that you can always be assured of. The Holy Spirit is never, ever, ever, and I'm going to put more ever, evers behind that, going to tell you to do something that goes against what Scripture says. Ever. If someone says the Holy Spirit tells them to do something that contradicts Scripture, it wasn't the Holy Spirit that told them to do that. Wisdom is being able to discern the truth. And wisdom comes from the Spirit, allows us, you know what? The Spirit allows us, I can sit and listen to a pastor talk for an hour. And I hear that one nugget of junk that's in there. I can hear it. Because the Spirit's going, that's not right. And you hear it all the time. The more that we're in tune with what the Holy Spirit's telling us, the more evident this stuff becomes to us. It just does. When the Holy Spirit comes to us, we change, guys. We do. Amen. We see things from God's perspective, not from ours. And you know what? We still have fleshly battles. We do. But you know what? The more we continue down the road, the less and less that the flesh wins those battles, and the more the Spirit starts taking over. We've read, every single one of us has read Scripture in the Bible. How many of you guys have ever picked up your Bible and you go, oh, let me read this right here. Oh, this is the prophecy against Gog. And you start reading in it and you're like, whoa, I never saw that before. And you guys ever had that? Where you start reading something and you're like, I've read this passage like 30 times. How come I never noticed that? The Spirit, as we grow in our sanctification process, as we continue to grow, the Spirit starts revealing more and more to us because we can handle it. If the Spirit understands better than anything where you're at in your walk. So if you're not ready for something, it's like I told you this a couple weeks ago. We tend to give a brand new Christian, bless you, we tend to give a brand new Christian, we go, here, I'm gonna give you some holy water. Ready? And you get that garden hose or that fire hydrant, you got somebody over there. Crank it! And they die. Because they can't handle it. They're not ready for it. The Holy Spirit knows where each one of us is at in our walk. So when we read, I guarantee you, if I pull up any verse in the Bible and I hand it to every single one of you and I tell you, what does that mean to you? It's going to mean something different. It's just going to. Because you're in a different place than I am. Every single one of you is. As we grow in Christ, we learn more because we can handle more. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we can move from milk to meat because we understand things that we didn't understand before. As a baby, we needed that simplicity. And as we begin to grow and we start getting teeth, we're able to chew on stuff longer and we're able to understand these things. Really, think about it. The entire sanctification process is amazing because God knows exactly what we need and when we need it. And we should always desire to want more and more of that meat. As we want to read more and understand and draw closer to God, our prayer life improves, our study life improves, all of these different things improve because we know how to draw closer with God. So, if those things are not going on in your life, we really need to examine where you're at. The spirit of, listen to this. Alex, you're going to want to write this down. The spirit of Christ won't let you lay stagnant. The spirit of Christ won't do it. He's not going to let you lay there and just continue to be a baby Christian. We're supposed to be the hands and feet, not the bottom. Okay? As a child of God, we're supposed to serve. We only do that when we see things through His eyes. We only grow when it's less of us and more of Him. And wisdom is in knowing where you are and what God has for you. I've said it 100 times. We're all at different places in our walk. You know, I've sat in churches, sadly, where I've seen people who have sat in the... That's Alex's chair, by the way. But I've seen people who sit in the exact same chair for 40 years.
Yep.
And you know what? They never grow.
They're buried out back.
And there's a placard. Seriously. I mean...
I can show you pictures.
It's sad because... if we think that our job as Christians is to come in here and listen to me bloviate for like 40 minutes, that's not our job. Our job is to be the hands and feet going out there and doing things. And I love that we are trying to do a lot of outreach things. I love this church for that. There's a lot, sadly, that aren't. We're all at different places in our walk, but here's the thing. We all need to be walking. We can't just be sitting. The mature Christian is one who's always looking for a place to walk to. Only the Holy Spirit gives us that wisdom. Only the Holy Spirit can tell us, this is right, this is wrong. I'm headed down this path. What happens when there's a fork in the road? Which one do I take? The Holy Spirit will give you direction in that way. And you know what? If you're not hearing from the Holy Spirit, pray. Come see me. Talk. Because I don't ever want anybody in this church to sit in the same spot every week. And actually, next week, don't sit in the same spot. Move somewhere else. Because I don't want you guys to get stagnant. I don't want you to come in here and just become the people who sit in row 3, chair 2. We don't have them numbered here, but maybe I will, just so. Quit pointing at your wife. Stop it. All right, you guys understand? So let's stand up, we'll pray. And we don't have a song when